The third quotation that I want to give you in regard to our little study today regarding broken cisterns comes from Signs of the Times, July 17th, 1884. Signs of the Times, July 17th, 1884. It's an article called Walk in the Light, and it talks about broken cisterns here as well. But it says, quote, "Men present many theories and doctrines, and this is the reason that so many claim to be sinless while they are transgressors of the law. Should they look unto God's great mirror, they would start back with horror. This is those who claim to be sinless." In other words, those who claim to be the church or the remnant on this side of the judgment of God, is that not a claim to be sinless? It's the same thing. Those who claim to be the true church with positivity, those who claim to be the remnant with unquestionability on this side of the law of God, are but claiming to be sinless. It's just another way of saying we are sinless, holy, saved, sanctified, abiding in Christ, heavenly minded. We are the church. We are the remnant. Brothers and sisters, those are the claims of false witnessing heathen Laodiceans. The Christian Seventh-day Adventist does not claim to be sinless. They do not claim to be the church nor the remnant. What do they claim? When asked the question, are you not the church nor the remnant? Their claim does not show heathen self-exaltation and false witness, but rather it shows Christian humility and truth. As they reply, we live in the hope of being judged by God to be the church or the remnant. We live in the hope of being judged by God then to be sinless. As we follow after Christ and His Word, the living water, the water of life, we live in the hope of being judged by God to be the church or the remnant. That humility and that acknowledgement of God's judgment is far different than the self-exalted, self-inflated judgment of heathen Laodiceans who go around boasting of their superior goodness and claim to be the church, the remnant, on this side of the judgment of God. They are but then claiming to be sinless while they are in reality the transgressors of the law. And Signs of the Times, July 17th, 1884, addresses them when it says, should they look into God's great mirror, in other words, the Ten Commandments, in reality, should they really look truly into God's great mirror, they would start back with horror. They would say with Paul, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Oh, how many forsake the fountain of living waters and hew them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. This is a correct representation of the spurious holiness so prevalent in the world today. But God's way is the humble way of penitence, faith, and obedience, and no human substitute will be accepted. Thou desirest not to sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. But all this vain boasting of holiness is not of God. Brothers and sisters, when it talks about boasting then here, all this vain boasting of holiness, of being holy, sinless, sanctified, abiding in Christ, heavenly minded, of being the church, the remnant, all these claims of superior holiness that are determined by the judgment of God alone. All these boasting of holiness, characteristic of heathen Laodicean Pharisees, both in the days of Christ and now, is not of God. And how do we show from God's word that it is the lukewarm or the Laodiceans that boast of such things? Why, it's in God's salvation-related Laodicean message itself. It's in 7 Bible Commentary, 963, or Manuscript 138, dated 1902. It says there, Christ says, "You boast of being rich and increased with supposed spiritual attainments. In reality, you are neither cold nor hot, but are filled with vain conceit. Unless converted, you cannot be saved. For you would mar heaven with your unsanctified wisdom. I cannot endorse your spirit and your work. You do not act according to the divine example. You are following a pattern merely of your own invention. Because you are lukewarm, I must spew you out of my mouth." Notice here then, it says two things about the lukewarm. They boast of their supposed spiritual attainments. In other words, they boast of being the church and the remnant on this side of the judgment of God in their self-exaltation. They boast of their supposed spiritual attainments in their vain conceit. They boast of, in other words, of being holy, sinless, sanctified, abiding in Christ, heavenly minded, the church, the remnant. They boast of things that are determined by the judgment of God alone as they exercise their false, fraudulent, and counterfeit judgment. Oh, do they judge? Of course they judge. Whenever they say, "We are the church and we are the remnant," are they not? Are they not judging? Yes, they're entering into the judgment that belongs to God alone. When Ministry of Healing, page 484, paragraph 2 tells us, very simply, we should be careful not to enter into the judgment that belongs to God. But do they enter into the judgment that God commands? For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, "My dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." In other words, flee from heathen Laodiceanism, because that is in idolatry. Heathenism is synonymous with idolatry. "My dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." In other words, flee from idolatrous and or heathen Laodiceanism. "I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say." There, God, through the Apostle Paul, gives us two commands. He gives Christian Seventh-day Adventists and heathen Laodiceans two commands. Judge and flee from idolatry. Do the idolaters or heathen Laodiceans follow that command? No. They do the judgment that God forbids. Judging those things that God can judge, and God can judge alone, as to who is the wheat, who is the church, who is the remnant, who is holy, sinless, sanctified, abiding in Christ, heavenly minded. They judge themselves and say, "We are the wheat, we are the church, we are the remnant." They do the judgment that God forbids man to do. While at the same time, in their idolatry or heathenism, in their making to themselves images to represent God, in their idolatry or heathenism, they refuse to do the judgment that God commands through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 14 and 15. Judge and flee from idolatry. They refuse to do the judgment that God commands, heathen Laodicean Pharisees of our day, as they historically take into themselves the judgment that God forbids, as they boast. It's a characteristic of those who are heathen Laodicean Pharisees or lukewarm. It's a historical characteristic that they boast of their vain, of their supposed spiritual attainments, when in reality they are in vain conceit according to God. And another thing that 7 Bible Commentary 963 or Manuscript 138, 1902 points out, they are not converted. Because it tells us here, unless converted, you cannot be saved, for you would mar heaven with your unsanctified wisdom. I cannot endorse your spirit. In other words, your heathen Laodicean spirit and your work. Two things there then. It tells us about Laodiceans. They boast and they are not converted. And our basic text from Signs of the Times, July 17th, 1884, says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. But all this vain boasting of holiness is not of God. You should know now that that is a characteristic, this vain boasting of holiness is a characteristic of Laodiceans. Historically, heathen Laodicean Pharisees in their lukewarmness or aiding the enemy. It goes on in this same article, Signs of the Times, July 17th, 1884, that's talking about the broken cisterns of the Laodiceans, of heathen lukewarm Laodicean Pharisees, their broken cisterns. It goes on and talks about the Lord declared to ancient Israel, ye shall not do every man what is right in his own eyes, but ye shall observe and hear all these words which I command thee. And he promised them, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, he shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be blessed above all people. Will you, dear reader, examine critically the reasons of your faith by the law and the testimony? Satan has many bypaths strewn with tempting flowers that lead directly to the broad way, to death and hell. Our only safety is in the path of obedience. Men cannot follow their own desires and be right. They not only involve their own souls in ruin, but by their example they imperil others also. God is exact to mark iniquity, sins of thoughtlessness, negligence, forgetfulness, and even ignorance have been visited by some of the most wonderfully marked manifestations of his displeasure. Many who have suffered terrible punishment for their sins might have pleaded as plausibly as do those of today who fall into similar errors, that they meant no harm, and some would even say that they thought they were doing God's service, but the light shone on them and they disregarded it. Let us look at some of the examples found in sacred history. Assisted by his sons, Aaron had offered the sacrifices that God required, and he lifted up his hands and blessed the people. All had been done as God commanded, and he accepted the sacrifice and revealed his glory in a most remarkable manner, for the fire came from the Lord and consumed the offering upon the altar. The people looked upon this wonderful manifestation of divine power with awe and intense interest. They saw in it a token of his glory and his favor, and they raised a universal shout of praise and adoration, and fell on their faces as if in the immediate presence of Jehovah. As the prayers and praise of the people were ascending before God, Two of the sons of Aaron took each his censer and burned fragrant incense thereon, to arise as a sweet odor before God. But they had partaken too freely of wine and used strange fire, contrary to the Lord's commandment. And the wrath of God was kindled against Nadab and Abihu for their disobedience. And a fire went out from the Lord and devoured them in the sight of the people. By this judgment, God designed to teach the people that they must approach him with reverence and awe, and in his own appointed manner. He is not pleased with partial obedience. It is not enough that in this solemn season of worship, nearly everything was done as he commanded. The Lord sent Samuel to King Saul with a special message. Go, he said, and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both men and women, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Saul was faithful and zealous in performing a part of his commission. He smote the Amalekites with a great slaughter, but he took the proposition of the people before the commandment of God and spared Agag, the king, and the best of sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good. The Lord commanded Saul to utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. The Lord knew that this wicked nation, if it were possible, blot out his people and his worship from the earth. And for this reason, he had commanded that even the little children should be cut off. But Saul had spared the king, the most wicked and merciless of them all, one who had hated and destroyed the people of God, and whose influence had been strongest to promote idolatry. Notice here then the seriousness of idolatry. Brothers and sisters, today, the present day modern heathen Laodicean Pharisees in their professing Christian and Seventh-day Adventist guise profess to be keeping the Sabbath. They profess to be keeping the law of God. But in reality, in their heathenism, they are in idolatry. Are they then keeping the Sabbath? Well, brothers and sisters, according to the Word of God that I'll give you in conjunction with this article from Signs of the Times, July 17, 1884, that talks about the broken cisterns that heathen Laodicean Pharisees historically hew out for themselves rather than following after the Word of God, I'd like to give you a few quotations that are underneath this basic quotation in our study regarding broken cisterns that follow in logic with Signs of the Times, July 17, 1884. And the first quotation, I'm going to answer the question, are heathen Laodicean Pharisees in their heathenism, in their heathen Laodiceanism, in their idolatry, in other words, are they in reality keeping God's Sabbath? The first quotation we want to take a look at is Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 15 and 16. It says there, yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Here we see historically, among God's professed people who go into heathenism, such as the heathen Laodiceans have done in our day, are in reality polluting God's Sabbath with idols. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 15 and 16, then talks about Sabbath polluting with idols. Well, the logical question should be, what is an idol? What is an idol? The next quotation then answers that question. And that quotation is Sons and Daughters, page 57, paragraph 4, or manuscript 2, dated 1893. It says there, quote, "Anything that diverts the mind from God assumes the form of an idol. And that is why there is so little power in the church today," end quote. So what is an idol by God's definition? Anything that diverts the mind from God. That's what an idol is. Because it says here again, anything that diverts the mind from God assumes the form of an idol. And remember, historically, those who profess to be God's people, who go into heathenism, historically, they cannot enter the promised land. Historically, the reason why is because they pollute God's Sabbath with idols, just as we saw in Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 15 and 16. And then Sons and Daughters, page 57, paragraph 4, or manuscript 2, dated 1893, logically then defines for us what is an idol. And that is, quote, anything that diverts the mind from God. Well, then our next question should be, what diverts the mind from God? What is going on today in the world, in the professed Seventh-day Adventist Church, in the conference churches of the heathen church of the Laodiceans, in particular, in all the hundreds and thousands of churches that are heathen and Laodicean throughout the world? What is going on in their churches and in their books that they publish and in their magazines that in reality diverts the mind from God? Because remember, anything that diverts the mind from God is an idol. Sons and Daughters, page 57. And God's Sabbath is polluted by idols. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 15 and 16. So the question should be, since God's Sabbath is polluted by idols, and since an idol is defined by God as anything that diverts the mind from God, what is it that is so widespread today among those who falsely profess to be Christians and Seventh-day Adventists that is in reality diverting the mind from God? And the answer is given in the next quotation, very simply, Signs of the Times, May 19th, 1881, or 1 Signs of the Times, page 227. Column 3 and paragraph 2. Signs of the Times, May 19th, 1881, or 1 Signs of the Times, 227, column 3 and paragraph 2. It says there, "The human mind is naturally inclined to dwell upon the things which are seen and heard, and to neglect the things which are unseen. The Lord had done marvelous things for His people in the manifesting of His power as the only true and living God," with a capital G. "Yet many had been led astray by the satanic delusion." By what? It says, "Yet many had been led astray by the satanic delusion that God might be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands. By the contemplation of these things, their minds were diverted from God," end quote. Brothers and sisters, when heathen Laodiceans make to themselves pictures, statues, and or images to represent God, they are trying to represent God by some type of material objects, the works of men's hands. And notice what the testimony of Jesus again says here. Many had been led astray by the satanic delusion that God might be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands. In other words, that God can be represented by pictures, by statues, and or by images. Those are all material objects. They're made out of some kind of material object, by gold or silver or stone, by ink or chalk or clay or wood. They're made out of some kind of material object. They're even made out of website pixels. Those are material objects. Anytime we try to represent God by material objects, and that's what all pictures or statues or images are, they're a composite of material objects. We're following after a satanic delusion, because it says here, it is a satanic delusion that God might be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands. And it goes on, by the contemplation of these things, their minds were diverted from God. Signs of the Times, May 19th, 1881. Or One Signs of the Times, page 227, column 3, paragraph 2. Now, when people's minds are diverted from God, what is that? When anything diverts the mind from God, what is that? That's an idol, according to Sons and Daughters, page 57. And what do idols do in regard to the Sabbath? They pollute it, according to Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 15 and 16. And what does it say here in Signs of the Times, May 19th, 1881 again? It says it's a satanic delusion that God might be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands. By the contemplation of these things, their minds were diverted from God. So when people try to represent God by material objects, by wood or stone or clay, or website pixels, or chalk or paint, by some kind of material objects, not only are they in a satanic delusion, but they're creating things that divert people's minds from God. And anything that diverts minds from God is an idol. And idols pollute God's Sabbaths. Idols are a part of idolatry, a part of heathenism, a part of the religion of heathen Laodiceans. How difficult is it then to spiritually discern the churches and the schools, the books, the magazines of heathen Laodiceans? Are they attempting to represent God by material objects, the works of men's hands? Are they attempting to represent God by pictures, by statues, and or by images made out of some kind of material object? Not only is that a satanic delusion to do that, but it also, in reality, according to God's word, does not draw people closer to God, but in reality, it diverts people's minds from God. And anything that diverts the mind from God is an idol, and an idol is what pollutes God's Sabbath. Here you have three quotations. Ezekiel 20, verses 15 and 16. Sons and Daughters, page 57, paragraph 4, or manuscript 2, dated 1893. And third, Signs of the Times, May 19th, 1881. Or One Signs of the Times, page 227, column 3, and paragraph 2. Three quotations that show you very clearly how to openly and spiritually discern the open idolatry or open heathen Laodiceanism of present-day modern heathen Laodicean Pharisees. Everywhere, in their churches, in their schools, in their universities, in their magazines, in their books, they attempt to represent God by material objects, the works of men's hands. Not only is that a satanic delusion to do that, but it diverts people from God. It diverts people's minds from God. How does it do that? Well, brothers and sisters, do these so-called images of God, do these images of God have love, let alone infinite love? No. How can they represent God then? Do these so-called images of God, are they omnipotent? Do they have all power like God has? No, they have no power whatsoever, except that power which people give them in their idolatry or heathenism. How can they represent God then? Do these images represent something? Are these images in and of themselves omnipresent? God is omnipresent. Are these images omnipresent? No, they are not. How can they represent God then? Are these images omniscient? Do they know everything? No, these images know nothing. How can they represent the omniscient God then? Do these images forgive sin? No, they do not forgive sin. How can they represent the sin-forgiving God then? Are these images eternal? Are they going to live? Are they living at all? Are these images alive, infinitely alive? No, they're dead. How can they represent the eternal, infinitely living God then? Do you see why such images divert people's minds from God? They have no love. They aren't alive. They're dead. They cannot forgive sin. They're not omnipotent. They're not omnipresent. They're not omniscient. They're dead. And people say they represent God. When they make an image of God, when they attempt to represent God by material objects, they're not the work of men's hands. They're not only in a satanic delusion, if that weren't bad enough, but these things that they make with their own hands divert people's minds from the true and living God. Signs of the Times, May 19th, 1881. And anything that diverts people's minds from God is an idol. Sons and Daughters, page 57, paragraph 4. And idols pollute God's Sabbath and keep people out of the promised land. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 15 and 16. And brothers and sisters, today we hear the same argument that has come down through history from heathen Laodicean Pharisees. We can make images to represent God. God can be represented by material objects, the works of our hands, because we don't worship them. And they add that false witness in regarding the worship that they are involved in because they make images to represent God, because they are in the satanic delusion that God might be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands. Because they are in this satanic delusion, they go on and they bear false witness regarding worship. Brothers and sisters, because they attempt to represent God by material objects, that in and of itself is a satanic delusion. Is a satanic delusion, then, one of Satan's arts and devices? The satanic delusion that God can be represented by material objects, is that then one of Satan's arts and devices also? Of course it is. Signs of the Times, May 19th, 1881, says that it's a satanic delusion to believe that God might be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands. And these things divert people's minds from God. It's a satanic delusion to believe that God might be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands. In other words, by pictures, statues, or images that are made to represent God. When people do that, they're in a satanic delusion. Such a satanic delusion, then, by definition, by reason, is obviously just one of Satan's many arts and devices. 1 Testimonies 296, paragraph 2, then, lends itself to our understanding of the worship that heathen Laodiceans are in because they attempt to represent God by material objects, the works of men's hands. Because One Testimonies, page 296, paragraph 2, tells us what Satan worship is. It defines for us there what Satan worship is. When Satan's arts and devices, wherever or whenever, Satan's arts and devices are received as from heaven, or are received as if they were okay, Satan worship is taking place at that very moment. Because Satan worship is, by definition, receiving Satan's arts and devices as from heaven, as if they were okay. And people are receiving the idea that God might be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands, which is a satanic delusion. They're receiving a satanic delusion as if it were okay. And they're lying to the people when they say, we can make images of God because we don't worship them. They're lying about the worship they are really involved in. They are involved in Satan worship when they attempt to represent God by material objects, the works of men's hands. According to Signs of the Times, May 19, 1881, or One Signs of the Times, page 227, column 3, and paragraph 2, together with One Testimonies, page 296, paragraph 2. So there gives you an example of what heathen Laodiceans are doing today. What the Conference Church of the openly heathen Church of the Laodiceans are doing today in their churches, in their hierarchical administration, in their universities, in their schools. They are deeply involved in attempting to represent God by material objects, the works of men's hands. They are deeply involved in satanic delusion. They are deeply involved in Satan worship. They are deeply involved in idols. They are deeply involved in polluting God's Sabbath with these idols and with their Satan worship, with their idolatry. And at the same time, they lie to the people and they say, we can make images to represent God. God can be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands, because we don't worship them. They lie. They're involved in Satan worship because they do this thing. They have hewn out for themselves broken cisterns, just like God warns us about heathen Laodicean Pharisees historically. They do not accept the Word of God. They do not accept these quotations I just gave you that shows that they are in Sabbath polluting with idols or with gods or with idolatry or with the images that they make because they believe in a satanic delusion, or with the images they make because they believe that God can be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands, or because they are in Satan worship. Will you send your children to their churches and their Sabbath schools? Will you send your children to their schools and their universities? Will you enslave your children to the heathen Laodicean Sabbath polluting with idols, with gods, with idolatry, with satanic delusion, with Satan worship? Then you're trying to get to heaven by way of broken cisterns rather than by way of the water of life, the living water, the Word of God itself. The last quotation I want to give you regarding our little study today, the fourth quotation, I said I'd give you four primary quotations, and underneath them they would have various other quotations to lend support to those four primary quotations. The last quotation, the fourth quotation I want to give you is from The Paulson Collection, page 201, paragraph 8, to page 202, paragraph 3. It says there, quote, Christ is the same Christ that he has ever been. He is our Redeemer. Those who have been striving to quench their thirst at broken cisterns, which can hold no water, need to be born again. Remember this. Those who have been striving to quench their thirst at broken cisterns, which can hold no water, need to be born again. And brothers and sisters, what was it we saw earlier in 7 Bible Commentary 963 or Manuscript 138 dated 1902? It is the lukewarm, in other words, the heathen Laodicean, who is not converted. In other words, they need to be born again. Why? Because it is they that are trying to quench their thirst and to quench people's thirst that they can influence at the broken cistern that they have hewn out with their own hands, at the broken cistern that can hold no living water, no water of life, no words of Christ. They have no words of Christ to justify their heathenism or their idolatry or their Sabbath polluting with gods and idols or images made by men's hands to supposedly represent God. These images are found in their administration from the lowest levels to the General Conference itself. They're found in their universities, in their schools, in their Sabbath schools, in their churches. And it's very simple then to spiritually discern openly heathen or openly idolatrous and Sabbath polluting heathen Laodiceans. There's a vast distinction between Satan's lukewarm or enemy aiding, openly idolatrous, openly Sabbath polluting, or heathen Laodiceans, and God's Christian Seventh-day Adventists. There's a vast difference. Heathen Laodiceans have broken cisterns. They need to be converted. They need to be born again. And they can start by being converted and being taken away from and out of and fleeing their Sabbath polluting with idolatry or heathenism or with making images to represent God. They can start there in their conversion. They need to leave their broken cisterns, which can hold no water. They need to be born again. Let's read here what it says again in Paulson Collection, page 201, paragraph 8, and I'll read on to page 202, paragraph 3. Christ is the same Christ that he has ever been. He is our Redeemer. Those who have been striving to quench their thirst at broken cisterns, which can hold no water, need to be born again. And we know here she's talking about heathen Laodiceans, no question. That Christ may be formed within. They need to be born again. The hope of glory. That Christ may be formed within. The hope of glory. They need to be born again. There are those who will never receive the gospel message in its fullness. They will never see the greater light and working of the Holy Spirit. There is a depth of depravity in unbelieving human nature that will never be healed because the true light has been misinterpreted and misapplied. Clearly, heathen Laodiceans do that. They misapply and they misinterpret true light, as is exemplified by the quotations I gave you regarding their Sabbath polluting with idolatry and Satan worship. They never talk about those quotations, do they? Because they are misinterpreting and misapplying true light. The Lord has given His Spirit in abundance of assurance to enable men and women to understand the fallacies and errors of Satan and to guard against them. Some will soon turn from their deceptive errors and calculations. To those who will be born again. The Bible will become a new book. There is a higher elevation to reach. True faith is to take the place of unbelief. The living springs of the Word of God with all their rich treasure are to flow into the soul. The truth of the Christian religion depends upon the divine authority of the Word of God. The authority of the Word is yea and amen. And remember again, the lukewarm do not take God at His word. That's what Jesus tells us about them in Review and Herald, August 13, 1889, or to Review and Herald, page 325, column 3 and paragraph 2. Continuing on in Paulson Collection on page 202, it says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Our great need is to have Him formed within, the hope of glory. He is to come into our individual experience as a personal Savior. He is the foundation of our faith, the rock of ages. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. When Christ shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then will all men be convinced of the truth that God hath set apart him that is godly for Himself. But the words of Isaiah will come to many minds. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people, my professed people, their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. The 58th chapter of Isaiah gives a wonderful presentation of truth. And it goes on page 202 and 203 of the Paulson Collection. The testimony of Jesus goes on to call people out of Battle Creek. That is the message. And Battle Creek symbolizes the Laodicean church. And at the time, the Laodicean message told people to go to Loma Linda for their training rather than Battle Creek. But brothers and sisters, today Loma Linda has become another Battle Creek in its heathen Laodiceanism, in its open Sabbath polluting with idolatry or with heathen Laodiceanism. Clearly then, the conference churches of the highly visible or openly Sabbath polluting, openly idolatrous, or openly heathen churches of the Laodiceans, the conference churches, just as it was in the days of Christ, have hewn out for themselves broken cisterns from which they cannot quench their thirst, from which they will not spring forth unto eternal life. Why? Because these broken cisterns can hold not Christ's words. They cannot hold the water of life. They cannot hold the living water. The things that I've told you about today regarding Sabbath polluting and idolatry and Satan worship from the Word of God cannot be held in the broken cisterns of heathen Laodiceans, who make up historically the greater part of God's professed people ever since 1876, according to Four Testimonies, page 87, paragraph 2, written in 1876. Let's continue on then to the end of our chapter. This concludes our study regarding broken cisterns. I just wanted to give you four quotations, plus some quotations that lend themselves to highlighting these four basic quotations regarding broken cisterns to go along with what we read in Desire of Ages, page 454. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, we realize that the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of Christ's day at the first coming of Christ hewed out for themselves broken cisterns that would not hold the words of God, that would not hold the living waters. Just as the present day, openly heathen Laodiceans have also done. broken cisterns. I hope you have a better understanding for how this relates to the open Sabbath polluting and open idolatry of heathen Laodiceans of our day, who are falsely passing themselves off as Christians and Seventh-day Adventists. There's a vast distinction between Satan's heathen Laodiceans in a falsely professing Christian and Seventh-day Adventist disguise. A vast distinction between Satan's heathen Laodiceans and the Lord God's Christian Seventh-day Adventists. Let's read our last paragraph for this chapter and conclude our worship for today. It says, "The cry of Christ in Desire of Ages," page 454, the last paragraph. "The cry of Christ to the thirsty soul is still going forth, and it appeals to us with even greater power than to those who heard it in the temple on that last day of the feast. The fountain is open for all. The weary and exhausted ones are offered the refreshing draught of eternal life. Jesus is still crying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.'" In other words, let him take the words of Christ freely, rather than the broken cisterns of historically heathen and Laodicean Pharisees. "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life." And remember, this well of water, this water that Christ gives, the water of life, the living water, are Christ's words. Today I've shown you how present-day heathen and Laodicean Pharisees, in their openly heathen Laodiceanism, have hewn out for themselves broken cisterns. They have rejected this water of life, this living water, Christ's words regarding their very own counterfeit Sabbath. In other words, their very own Sabbath polluting, their very own idolatry, their very own openly heathen Laodiceanism. They have rejected the living water regarding these things. They have rejected Christ's words regarding these things. And they continue in their Sabbath polluting, their idolatry, their heathen Laodiceanism, and their Satan worship. And they lie to the people regarding worship, regarding idolatry, regarding a salvation, regarding the Sabbath itself. This concludes our study here of this chapter at the Feast of the Tabernacles. Next week we'll continue on in Desire of Ages with chapter 50, beginning on page 455, entitled Among Snares. Let's kneel for closing prayer for today, close our Sabbath worship. Father, we thank you, as our testimonies have given evidence of your blessings today. We thank you for the watch care that you've given to make the impossible possible. We thank you for being here in Colorado, protected from the wildfires that are raging out of control around us. We thank you for the miracles and the doors that you have opened up, the many insurmountable problems, from housing to money to permission to flights to weather, that you have overruled to make it possible that Darian can be here. We ask for your blessing upon his visit. May tremendously good things come from this visit for the lives of Jenny and Ricky, Elizabeth, for the lives of Mark and Karen, and for the life of Darian himself. May a tremendous blessing come from this. And we ask, if possible, that you show us in the days and Sabbaths to come exactly what this blessing is that you have prepared even before we've asked. But just now we thank you for the blessing of the watch care, the blessing of Darian's actual visit, that he's here and he's visiting. He's visiting with his family. We thank you so much that this blessing can be seen. And we thank you for the blessing that we've asked for that is yet to come, that we're anticipating, that we want to understand. I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. We thank you so much for this promise, as week by week you show us the truthfulness in this promise. We claim it again, and we simply ask for our friends and our loved ones, our neighbors and our enemies as well. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming to worship, everybody. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Bye for now.